Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the Riverfront, episode number 457 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, where we discuss the Cincinnati Reds and occasionally Logan Ondrusek. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week is the man, the myth, the legend, Nate Dotson. How are you, Nate?
Chad, if I were any better, I would be Timothy Chalamet's hairstylist. Ooh. That guy's got some locks.
You would be better. I got to say, locks, I'm not going to discuss that with you, but I'm noticing a little bit of growth maybe down here on the bottom.
You know, I've got to No Shave November a little bit late, and I said on this very podcast that I will shave my beard when either my marriage depends on it or Joey Votto does first, and my soon-to-be wife doesn't care at all. She's really, really enjoying the beard era, so Joey, please, I'm ready to shave. Help me out.
If you're watching on YouTube, this is what you're going to look like soon, Nate. You got to dress like Joey Votto at the chess tournament as well.
If I can hit like Joey, it'll be a fine twat.
Absolutely. All right. So before we go any further, again, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, smash the subscribe button. If you're listening to the audio version, subscribe, follow, whatever it says on your Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Audible, wherever you find us. Follow us, and you know, you automatically get my voice delivered to your phone every week. I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer. Yeah, right, for free. So, Nate, this again, the last few weeks, it's been interesting because we've actually had some Reds news to talk about. Not as much Reds transactional news this week, but some interesting things to discuss anyway. And we also are gonna maybe do some goofy stuff as well, which we typically do. Shall we start with Ken Rosenthal?
I think we kind of have to, don't we?
Ken Rosenthal, if you all know Ken Rosenthal, he is a maybe the most respected baseball writer. And he writes for The Athletic now. And he had a piece earlier this week kind of looking at the current state of Major League Baseball ownership. And essentially, it was talking about Steve Cohen, who's the owner of the New York Mets, was a big part of it, as being what he called a new breed of owner, who is quote unquote obsessed with winning, no matter the budget. Now, first of all, Nate, a new breed of owner who's obsessed with winning, no matter the budget. That sounds pretty good. I guess I'll say I'm not gonna launch into my rant yet.
I didn't know you could arrange those words in that order in a sentence and have it work.
Right, but evidently you can. And so, anyway, it was a really interesting piece. And Rosenthal essentially said that talks about this new breed of owner, and then specifically calls out. Well, let me just read this. This is a new breed of owner operating under a new collective bargaining agreement that reflects the union's success in raising the luxury tax thresholds and staving off harsher penalties. Cohen took over the Mets in late 2020. Seidler became the Padres' control person not long after that. Middleton became a 48% shareholder in the Phillies in 2014 and their control person in 2016. And those were examples of owners who, they're just spending money. They're just trying desperately to win. The Padres, man, they've not won hardly anything, but they still keep trying to win. The Phillies, look what happened. They made it all the way to the World Series because they're trying to win. Then he ends it up with, Rosenthal ends up the paragraph with any luck, the Nationals and Angels both currently for sale, will be bought by like-minded individuals or groups, and the turnover will continue with the Reds, A's, and Pirates, to name three clubs that need a change. So, Nate, just what were your thoughts when you saw that? I know what your initial thoughts were because I saw them on the Twitters, but the Reds need a change at ownership? Really?
Yeah, who would have thunk it? Nobody's even mentioned that in years. Yeah, what you're alluding to, my initial thought was, it sure was nice having Ken Rosenthal say what we've been saying forever. And I don't know if you noticed, there wasn't a peep of opposition or pushback to his thoughts on Twitter. He's one of, if not the most respected name in baseball journalism. And, you know, people get mad at you or mad at us or any number of folks that agree with this sentiment, but they didn't have much to say about that piece. And if you read it, it's just freaking true. Like, if you buy the argument that the Reds just can't compete with those teams and the Castellanis don't have enough money, then take the $1.19 billion valuation, sell it for more than that, recoup your investment, and ride off into the sunset. Sell the team to someone who cares about winning, just like they're doing in San Diego. For God's sake, give me something to get excited about other than a cheap beer Tuesday and bobblehead.
Right, exactly. It was really interesting to see what you talked about, which is the no pushback, and also it threw into stark contrast what we see often, which is that it takes someone outside of the Cincinnati market to say the things that are obviously true to everyone. And I say someone other than me, obviously me, because nobody cares about what I say. But
I care.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, City Beat magazine, they were one of the only print outlet other than my beloved Cincinnati magazine that discussed the billboard thing earlier this year. And they actually wrote a piece about this, or alluding to Rosenthal's comments. And the photo they used with their piece was the photograph of the billboard. So hash brown, sell the team, Bob, which I appreciate. And they mentioned us kindly in there. But it's really interesting to me that, and this is something we've talked about a little bit before, that the sell the team Bob billboard, and again, it was a dumb thing. It was a bunch of us yahoos, and I love it, and it still cracks me up. But it was all fans. But no print outlets wrote about it. None, not a one. And I talked about it a little bit with Bill on a recent podcast. But there's a reason for that. No one with a relationship with the Reds is willing to say these things. I was willing to say it because I was willing to burn any relationships that I'd built up with the Reds, just set them aflame because, yeah, whatever, who cares? We're, you know. And because my editors at Cincinnati Magazine don't care. The managing editor, editor literally said, write the truth. We don't know anything. And if they give us access, well, then they won't give us access, whatever. But that's something that was long before me. It was, and I mentioned it last week, but they had a run in back when they wrote a piece about Brandon Phillips that was not well received. And so I think they just decided, you know, we're not covering games every day. I mean, I'm writing a weekly column for them, but we don't cover them every game. We don't have to be in the stadium. So, but anyway, really interesting to see someone outside Cincinnati actually say what's obvious, which is that this is not right. What's happening to this once proud franchise. And it's, I guess I like the fact that there are owners now that are, you know, we saw this in years past. Here in recent years, not as much. There are owners that are throwing caution to the wind saying, all I want to do is win. I don't care about the bottom line. And that puts even more into stark contrast what we have here in Cincinnati. And we talk about it a lot. We don't have to rant about it much more. But you and I had the same reaction, which was, oh, good. Somebody's saying what we've been trying to say. Maybe somebody will listen to Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, much more respected and vocal, loud mouthpiece.
Thanks, yeah, Ken. Yeah, much more vocal than us. So anyway, that was, I thought, interesting. We don't need to dive into it too much more, but I would encourage you to go read that piece if you're a subscriber to The Athletic. If not, I would suggest you head over to CityBeat, citybeat.com, and they have a good piece about it. And also our friend Doug Gray at redlegnation.com has a good piece about that. Oh man, I just want to spend the rest of the hour talking about Castellini because I get off on it, but I can't do that because, you know, a little bit of that goes a long way and I've been doing it for a year now, or more than a year. But let's talk about what other, again, not really news of the week necessarily, because transaction wise, there was one thing we'll talk about, but because we have a viewer mail question about it, but a very tiny transaction. But I do want to mention that Baseball America, now you've heard of Baseball America, I presume.
I've heard both of those things individually.
Baseball and America. I like both of them, absolutely. They released their updated top 10 Reds prospects list this week. And, well, we're not going to get into that because, you know, prospects, whatever. Reds got a haul. But what was more interesting is that they projected out their lineup 3 years in the future. The Reds projected 2026 lineup. And they've done this for years. And I would love to go back and see how often they're correct, because these projections presume that all these guys that are currently in the organization are going to graduate up. And they admit that's a conceit that's not going to happen, but it's a way to look at what does the depth chart look like in the minor leagues. And so just quickly run down these. Tyler Stevenson at catcher, yes, please. He'll be 29 years old in 3 years. Christian Encarnacio Strand at first base. Jonathan Eddie at second base. Noel V. Marte at third base. Edwin Arroyo at shortstop. And that surprised me a little bit, because all these great shortstops the Reds have in the minor league system, that's the one they chose at shortstop, which would be great. And he'll be only 23 years old in 2026. Jay Allen, power hitting left fielder, is what they have projected. Ellie De La Cruz in center, he'll be 24 in 2026. Right field, Cam Collier, first round draft pick. Designated hitter, Sal Stewart, who is not a person that actually exists. They made that name up. Sal Stewart. No, it's not true. He does exist. And then the rotation. Nick Lodolo, number one starter over Hunter Green. Chase Petty, number three. Brandon Williamson, number four. Graham Ashcraft, number five. That's five starters under the age of 28. They have Connor Phillips as their closer. It seems like there's another guy that might be in the mix to be the closer named Diaz. But anyway, we don't have to go in depth in that. I thought it was an interesting exercise. I don't know if there's anything you want to say about it. I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah. The one thing that I like looking at this roster is that there are four, maybe five of what I would call professional hitters, guys that I think even on their down seasons are going to have like a 108, 110 way to run to creative plus. And we haven't had that in a while. Joey is that kind of guy. Obviously, he is the top tier, but you think more about like a Michael Brantley type, that even when they're 35, 36, they're going to show up and they're going to hit. They're going to be good hitters for the lifetime of their career. And I think Tyler Stevenson's that guy. I think Encarnacion Strand's that guy. And then what you're hearing about Noel V. Marte and Cam Collier, also those kind of guys. So I would like the idea of having a lineup full of dudes that are going to be tough, tough outs.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree completely. Now, we talk often here about our Slack channel. If you're a friend at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, you can $2 a month. You can join our fun on the Slack channel. But anyway, some really interesting points made today in the Slack channel about this list. And the biggest one was this. Is Jonathan India actually going to be a second baseman in 3 years? Is he going to be here? But also, is he going to be a second baseman? Our buddy Jason Linford says, I can't see any reality where Jonathan Eddie is playing second base for the Reds in 2026. Joe Farsing, who you know from the award-winning Bengals Riverfront Show. If you're not subscribed to that, you're dead to me. Go subscribe to it now. Joe is one of the top two hosts of that show. And, I mean, he's a solid number two, let's be honest. But in every way, he's number two. But Joe says, if he's a Red, then he's left field. People get so mad, but he's not a good fielder, and he won't have the shift to help cover up. And I'm sorry for releasing private communications from our Slack channel, but I didn't think either of those guys would mind that. I don't know. I'm not as down on India's defense as Joe seems to be, although I will say that the shift has certainly helped him, and it remains to be seen whether he's actually a good defensive second baseman. He's shown signs. He's also shown signs of being really bad at times. So my hot take here is that neither Tyler Stevenson nor Jonathan Eddie will be here in 2026. And I hate saying that out loud because I hope it's not true, but that's my thought.
Moving on then, because we're not going to dive deep into a world where Tyler Stevenson is not on this roster in 3 years.
I agree. Please. So, and I'm with you on the professional hitter thing. That's kind of gotten lost in the clamor for power hitters in recent years, and I understand why, but man, I always love a guy like Hal Morris is the guy from my generation. And I'm like, that's a professional hitter. You roll him out of bed at 3 a.m, he'll hit a double into the gap. So, all right. Nate, we have a topic of the week here, and I think it's time to get into it. Are you ready for this?
I cannot be more ready.
Well, if you're watching on YouTube, or actually if you're listening on the, on your audio app, you already know what the title of this show is. So you've got a preview of what we're talking about, but it's time, that time of year, Nate. It's the holiday season. I know you always get really festive around the holiday season. Are you festive today?
Festive. We talked about how I'm growing my Christmas beard. I mean, I have a few adult beverages more often than I usually would. Maybe work less than I should be. 'Tis the season.
Wonderful. Well, let's discuss the Cincinnati Reds and things happening in and around the Cincinnati Reds in Christmas movie quotes. Man, what a great idea this is. This is going to be fun. This is something we do occasionally for different quotes. My favorite would be Elf. Last year, this time last year, we did the Cincinnati Reds in Elf quotes. Fantastic movie. And some. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it because it's fantastic. I won't tell you who the angry elf is. But Christmas movie quotes. And so, Nate, I'm going to toss some at you. Let me hear what you say. And we'll talk a little bit about these quotes with respect to the Cincinnati Reds. Do you understand the conceit here? Do you understand what we're doing?
I think we can.
All right. Then we're going to start with the classic Christmas movie, Die Hard. First quote is from John McClane. Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs. Now, you remember what that scene was in Die Hard, right, Nate?
Absolutely. That was the iconic air vent scene in the definite absolute Christmas movie, Die Hard. After finding himself crawling through a tiny little vent system to escape the bad guys, John McClane, our heroine, hero, takes some time to complain to himself. You know, it's a pretty human moment for Mr. McClane.
It's fantastic.
It's also pretty similar to Nick Kroll's sales pitch to this year's free agent class. You replace the words the coast with Great American Small Park, you pretty much got it. Like, hey, so, we can't pay you real money, but come out to GABP, bump the numbers, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
And what after that?
And in all likelihood, you know, ship him off to a contender down the stretch. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what we talked about earlier. They have a little money. They're trying to bring people. So,
Not a ton.
But yeah, come on out to Great American Ballpark. We'll get together, have a few laughs. And I will say this, that every time I've been to the Great American Ballpark, I have a few laughs. It's always good for a few laughs. So that's a good one. I can't compete with that at all. So next, we're going to move along to Home Alone. All right. Now, there are a couple of quotes here. I'm going to ask you which one you prefer. Here's the first one. What? You want to do these?
I'll take the first one. How about that?
All right. You take the first one.
All right. The first one is from Kevin, Macaulay Culkin's character in Christmas classic Home Alone. He says, I'm eating junk food and watching rubbish. You better come out and stop me.
All right.
I'm going to dedicate this one to Mike Moustakas, who is probably yelling that very thing to the Reds front office so that they'll just cut him and let him leave.
I'm eating junk food and watching rubbish. You better come out and stop me. I can just imagine him with, you know, he got Cheeto dust around his mouth. And oh, my goodness, that's horrible. We should not say things like that in public, Nate. It's really not good. Well, how about this one? I'm gonna give you another one, and I think there's a better one. That's a good one. I think there's a better one. Let me give you this one and see what you say. So late in the movie, Kevin is talking to Fake Santa, and he asks Fake Santa to pass along a little message to the real big guy, you know, the one that doesn't smell like beef and cheese. And so he asks this, would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. Now, can you relate that to the Cincinnati Reds?
So this one's kind of relevant to some news that we got today. Somebody leaked a statement that the Reds were somewhat interested in bringing back Johnny Cueto. Obviously, no secret, we would support that here at the Riverfront. So this quote is getting dedicated to none other than me, dedicating this quote to myself. And I realize that true joy in life just doesn't come from big name free agents or your trades, even for established superstars. You know, I won't be selfish and ask for that for Christmas. Instead, just give me my family back. Go out there, sign Johnny Cueto, bring Tucker back as a backup for a couple years. You know, I know Castellanos and Gino Suarez are a lot to ask for, so maybe we'll splash in Jesse Winker. Heck, even Zach Cozart's donkey. Yeah, this year, my letter to Santa just says, "Dear Nick Kroll in the Reds front office." Instead of presents, I just want my family back.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's something that we've talked about a little bit here. And, of course, what Nate's talking about is we've discussed this a little bit. You know, Johnny Cueto changed his profile picture to be a picture of him in a Reds uniform. And so John Morosi of MLB Network did report just today that the Reds have expressed interest in a reunion with Johnny Cueto. And now what that means, I don't know. You know, Cueto's going to be 37. Expressed interest, that could be Nick Kroll just saying, "Ooh, we like that guy." You know, I don't know what it means. But it would be fabulous. And yes, get the family back together, Nate. I think it's perfect. I'm telling you, I've been boycotting Great American, boycotting Castellini, really. And I hate it. I miss it. I desperately miss going to Great American Ballpark. I don't care if the Reds lost 100 games this year. If you got the band back together, I would be there. And I'm talking about Cueto and Tucker Barnhart, like you said.
Be likable.
He's not coming back. What's that?
So we can't be good, be likable.
Exactly, right. You know, I mean, heck, I'm serious. Sign Adam Dunn to a one-year contract. Sign, you know, bring back Austin Kearns. Let's get Kearns and Dunn back together. I don't care that they can't play big league baseball anymore. You know, just bring Aaron Harang out. Let him try to get into the Reds Hall of Fame. Reggie Sanders. So
the Yankees will be happy to give us Aaron Boone.
That's probably true. We'll bring Aaron Boone back. And we really should bring Reggie Sanders and Glenn Braggs back. Because if you've seen them on the Instagrams, they look like they could still play.
They can still hit. So
they can still hit. All right. That's a great one, Nate. Kudos to that one. All right. Here we go. We've got a couple of quotes from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And the first one, I'll take this one. The first one is from our buddy Cousin Eddie. And the quote is this: "If that thing had nine lives, she just spent them all." And we're gonna dedicate that one. "If that thing had nine lives, she just spent them all," to our dear friend Aristides Aquino, who, man, more than nine lives. And I don't know, he may have 10 or 11. He may come back to the Reds at some point. So that's got to go to Aristides Aquino. Give us another one, Nate.
Let's see here. Let's stick with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Ellen Griswold says, "Well, I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas and we're all in misery."
That's perfect.
That's just the Reds offseason, man. I mean, it is almost Christmas. There has been no worthwhile news at all. We're getting excited about reports that the Reds might potentially be interested in a player who last played for them several years ago. I don't know. Misery loves company. We say that a lot here. And yeah, that quote fits.
Ellen Griswold, I mean, it's like she was the first Reds podcaster. You know? "Well, I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas and we're all in misery." Oh, man. I love it. That's fantastic. That's a good find, Nate. I'll give kudos on that. All right. Next quote here is from A Christmas Story. Fabulous Christmas movie. And what I'll say about this quote, and I'll let you pontificate on it, but what I will say is this. First of all, Christmas Story is fantastic, but you found this quote and you're going to make me say a word that I've never said on the podcast before. So, but I'm going to say it. Here's the quote. Oh my goodness. Only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window. Let me do that again, just because I like saying that. Only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window. Now, how in the world are you going to compare that, relate that back to the Cincinnati Reds?
The world's most dangerous podcast in action. So this one is a little heartfelt, and it makes sense that you don't want to spouse upon it. This one goes out to anyone out there that is boycotting the Reds by not going to Great American Ballpark. You know, I'd like to take this time to say that while I respect your decision, it is worth noting that this very well might be the last we get to see of one Mr. Joseph Daniel Votto, at least in a Reds uniform. So if there's anything that can drag you away from the soft glow of electric sex that is sticking it to Bob and Phil, catching Joey this season is a pretty worthwhile reason.
Oh, Nate, you're killing me. You're killing me. Let's go ahead now. That's a good time to ask our first viewer mail question of the night. These questions, as always, come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. That's patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you too can support the Riverfront. Because some comes from James Urban. James says, will 2023 be the last season we see Joey Votto as a Red? And the answer is almost certainly yes. And it's sad. It's going to be something we're going to be talking about all season long. But Nate, with your electric sex quote, has got me thinking something that I hadn't really put into words yet and hadn't really thought about.
Ooh, is which PG 13?
Me, Joey Votto, his glorious beard. No, but it's that. In the back of my mind, I'm presuming this is going to be Joey's last year of his contract. He does have an option year, but and I've got this Castellini boycott thing going on. But I will abandon the boycott at some point this year because I have to see Votto. I mean, I'll try to catch him at other parks, you know, maybe get up to a Nationals park or. I'm not sure if they play in Baltimore this year. We'll try to get up to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'll try to see him other places. But I think that's the one thing that could get me to pause my boycott is that I'm afraid this is going to be the last year we get to see Votto. And it makes me sad because Joey Votto is nothing if not electric sex.
Facts.
I'm tempted to. I'm not going to do it, but man, I would love to title this episode, the Riverfront number 457. Joey Votto is electric sex.
I want to see if the views spike.
Yeah, really. I might need to try it. Nate, I hope your parents aren't watching this.
We'll see.
All right, Nate.
We'll hear about it if they are. Why don't you take the next one?
Are you sure? Because this is not a movie I would have chosen to add to our collection of Christmas quotes, this next one. But I'll do it. It's from Nate's favorite movie, Love Actually. Love Actually. First quote is this, to me, you are perfect. That's from Mark in Love Actually, right? That's obviously, again, to Joey Votto, who is, I'm not going to say it again, but right? He's perfect.
He is perfect.
All right, so the next one.
For what it's worth, I got inspiration from my fiance. So what's your favorite Christmas movie? It was this one, and then I told her what we were doing here, and she said, oh, well, you should include my favorite quote, which is, so there was more than one lobster at the birth of Jesus Christ?
Wait, what?
I could not figure out how to incorporate that, so maybe next year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The next one was from the Prime Minister played by the dreamy Hugh Grant. He said, I love that word relationship. Covers all manner of sins, doesn't it? I fear that this has become a bad relationship. A relationship based on the president taking exactly what he wants and casually ignoring all those things that really matter to Britain.
Oh, that's perfect.
That kind of seems like something we have touched on already today, so no need to dive too much deeper. In this case, the Castellinis and the Reds' ownership are the president. They are taking what they want for only what they want without any care of what how it makes Britain feel. And I don't like calling Reds fans Britain, but Calvin Medcalf, our Patreon bud, will be happy about that.
Exactly. Yeah, we got some British patron, or a British patron. All right, so that's fantastic. It's perfect. I love it. Last one, again, I can't believe we're talking about Love Actually on the world's not even close to being the most dangerous podcast now. We just lost our spot. Last one, though, is from that because I think it's a good one. This is Sam in that movie. Girls love musicians, don't they? Even the really weird ones get girlfriends. Nate, go ahead. Who do we dedicate that one to?
Last bit of Reds news that we can relate in this column: Bronson Arroyo. You know, congrats on the Reds Hall of Fame nod. It was a big honor for Bronson, and he is notoriously a musician and notoriously really weird. So, just kind of fit.
Well, Bronson Arroyo was very kind to my son once upon a time, and so I'm going to say nothing but nice things about him. Also, he was one of my favorite Reds. And yes, I don't care if you're weird. We love him. All right. So anyway, that's the Cincinnati Reds in Christmas movie quotes. We hope all of you, whether you're celebrating Christmas, whatever, happy holidays. We hope you have a great holiday season. And I really appreciate you in sort of, putting us in your ears while when you're, trying to avoid your family during interminable, family holiday gatherings. Man, I've really got to watch what I say here because my family's not going to listen to this. But a couple more items of news this week that I wanted to, not really news, but that I wanted to at least briefly dive into. The first of these, Nate, is that the Reds are reportedly shopping some of these shortstop prospects. They have all these shortstop prospects from Matt McClain to Noel V. Marte to Edwin Arroyo to the legend, Ellie De La Cruz. And so the Reds, this is again from another report from Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic, says that the Reds are shopping some of their shortstop prospects, trying to land trades that would potentially fill other holes they have, but, and specifically says they're targeting outfielders, but, which makes sense because the Reds have no outfielders, but sort of talking about prospect for prospect trades. And I don't know that we need to do a whole lot of in-depth analysis of this necessarily because we've talked occasionally about how the Reds have all these shortstops. But, it's a good idea. I mean, I don't have any objections to that. And hopefully Nick Kroll will be as successful as he was in his recent trade dealing. So I thought we should mention it. Nate, do you have any thoughts about it?
Only that, comparable prospects, I don't really care what position you play. If you're the prospect at a certain level and you're getting another guy at a different position that's also at a certain level, and great, that makes sense to me. Age and readiness would be my big concern. If they trade a guy who's a season or two away from, making his debut for somebody that's 3 or 4 years away, that's going to annoy me.
Yeah, no, and I think we talked about it on the last podcast, but I can't. These things run together. So, but yeah, I would rather have the Reds trade for a center field prospect rather than move one of their shortstops to center field because there's a reason the guy's already a center fielder, and you can't be sure that Ellie De La Cruz, who's projected by Baseball America to be the center fielder, you can't be sure he can actually play the position. He probably can. Billy Hamilton did. Eric Davis did. If you want to go back that far, but. So I'm fine with it. But yeah, I think that's a good point. If they're trading a Matt McClain, who's close to the big leagues, and I don't know how good Matt McClain's going to be in the big leagues, but if they're trading that guy and he's a legitimate prospect, he'll be a big league player, whether he'll be a starter or what, I don't know what'll happen. But if you're trading that guy for some dude in single A that's 3-4 years away, no, you can get out of here with that. You can lose me on that. No thanks. So,
which is my fear. I'm afraid that's what would happen. And I would love to see people coming to defense of that.
Some people would come to the defense of that, and even some, potentially some. I'm not going to say that. Never mind. Some people will come to the defense of that. I'm not going to call anyone out. And it could actually be the right move, but you're going to have a hard time convincing me. So, last thing before we get into the rest of the viewer mail, Nate, is this. Our buddy Whit Terrell over at redreporter.com, he wrote a piece this week that he titled The Status Quo 2024 Cincinnati Reds. Sort of looking like, are the Reds going to stay the status quo? you know, what does it look like? What does it mean? And I don't have much to say here, and maybe you do, but other than just, I think you should go to Red Reporter and read that, because Wick Terrell is, again, we love having him. He's a frequent guest here on the show. He's always funny. He's always insightful. And I think you should all go read that. Nate, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first off, absolutely. Go read the piece. Wick's the man. He was kind of just laying out, what's this team going to look like in a few years if they just sit back and do nothing? If we wait on the prospects to arrive, we have the guys we have, how's that going to look? And at first I got kind of depressed reading it, because there's no way that all of these guys, these prospects, end up panning out. You know, they're not all going to be legit contributors to a playoff team. Those odds are barely more than zero. But you know me, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I always try to bring the optimism and excitement to the Riverfront podcast. So yeah, instead of belaboring the whole Reds aren't going to spend money and I'm sad, you know, talking point that we so often do, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And I say, let's lean into it, Reds. Let's see how low we can go with this payroll. Just start non-tendering dudes left and right.
No.
The Orioles, you know, the Orioles had the lowest payroll last year, $43.4 million. Psh, get Joey and Moose off the books. They can beat that without even trying.
No.
That 2013 Astros, they lost 111 games, spending $26 million. Chump change. We can get this thing down below 20.
Oh, if I thought that there were, if I thought there were, was leadership that were, that did it for the reasons that the Astros did it, I'd be all for it maybe, but. Nate, stop. You're killing me. Oh, my gosh. Go read Wick's piece. Do not listen to a word that Nate says. That's outrageous.
Also, good advice in general.
All right, Nate, you want to answer some viewer mail questions?
Yeah, let's knock them out.
All right, these questions, I already told you, they come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. The first comes from our, again, second mention of him today, which really upsets me. But it's Joe Farzing. Joe is pretty good about getting in under the wire or getting in first on these questions. Here's his question. I'm president of the Cincinnati chapter of the Jake Wong fan club. Would you gents like to be VP and treasurer? Plenty of leadership space available. If you're wondering who Jake Wong is, first of all, this is not a Christmas movie, but I'm going to give up. The first person to tweet me what movie this is from wins my eternal gratitude. And I don't know, I'll follow you on Twitter or I don't know what I'll do. But anyway, here's the quote about the Reds acquiring pitcher Jake Wong in a trade with the Giants. Wong? Toby Wong? Toby Wong? All right, I'm not going to say the next line because it has something worse than electric sex in it. But if you can tell me what movie that's from, Toby Wong, then you win my eternal admiration. Anyway, the Reds acquired right-handed pitcher Jake Wong to complete their trade from last week, where, if you remember, we had great fun mocking the Reds over drafting Blake Sable, the immortal Blake Sable, and then trading him to San Francisco for cold, hard cash within hours. And they also got a player to be named later. Jake Wong is that player to be named later. He was actually a third round pick back in 2018, but has not been particularly good since becoming a professional. And he's like 40 years old now. No, he's 26. I don't know. Maybe he can be a reliever. I don't know, but he's kind of another body. But to answer the question, yes, Joe, I want to be the either the vice president or the treasurer. I don't care which, of the Jake Wong fan club, and I'm hopeful that he becomes a contributing member of the 2023 Cincinnati Reds. Nate,
nope, I'm all the way out. Jake Wong, take a hike, bro. In the 5 minutes we had Blake Sable, I had talked myself into him. Kyle Bodie tweeted something out about, you know, him being like, this is a really good pickup. There's a lot of reason for optimism for this guy. And then in true Reds fashion, he's gone half an hour later. And now we get somebody named Jake Wong, who I swear I thought Joe had made up. No, not on the fan club. I'm on the anti-fan club. I'm going to be the president of people that are actively rooting against you, Jake Wong.
Oh, actually, Now, I don't want to be the vice president of the anti-Jake Wong fan club because he's not done nothing to me. But I will ask if we could maybe have a third fan club. Let's just make it the Blake Sable fan club. And I'm all about Sable. I would like to be the vice president of that fan club. Maybe? No? No. Next question from Joey Gaditsa. Joey, our friend from Canada, where it is negative 126,000 degrees right now. He keeps posting photos in our Slack channel about what the weather is up there from his whatever his weather app is, and it's outrageous. Joey Gaitza says, morning, fellas. Waiting for the Reds to make a significant move is like kids waiting for Christmas morning to see what's under the tree. So what does jolly old Bob have in the sack for us? Cole? Nate, you've often wanted to talk about jolly old Bob Castellini's sack. I'll let you do that. I'm not that interested in it.
All right, we're dangerous again. I enjoy Joey referring to him as jolly old Bob. We should have done that long ago. We're going to get nothing, and it's going to stink. I still keep hoping that at some point they'll come out and be like, okay, guys, this is what we're doing. I went back through a bunch of articles and Nick Kroll interviews for fun because I hate myself. And he always talks about player development. We got to build from within. We got to work with the payroll. He never says anything about signing some free agents down the road and like filling the gaps. Like we're gonna get some guys later once our young guys are ready to contribute. We always say that. Reds Twitter always says that, but I couldn't find a single instance of Nick Kroll saying anything like that. So it keeps going back to what I've sort of been harping on a little bit is if there is a plan, can my Christmas present be that you just tell us that that is the plan? Don't make me hope that it is the plan. Say, hey, we're not going to do crap this year. We might sign a couple guys to Brandon Drury it up. Hope we can get a prospect or two back for him. But next year, we're gonna sign a couple bridge guys. We're going to see if maybe we can't take advantage of the young guys you know, getting ready a little bit early, maybe contend a little bit earlier than we expect the window to be. But no, we've not heard anything like that. It's just player development built from within. So, yeah, we're going to get nothing, but I'm going to – that would make me at ease.
You know, you've clarified something that I thought a lot, and this is maybe the single most frustrating thing I have with this organization. We've made the case here on the show that there is a path. There genuinely is a path. Given the Gred's good farm system, there is a path they could be competitive. Sooner rather than later, even, you know, in a couple of years. And it's something that I talk about a lot on here, which is that the Reds need to hire me or someone that knows how to talk. I mean, I know I have this ridiculous accent, but I think I can clarify some concepts using words, which Nick Kroll has a difficulty doing sometimes. They need to hire someone to speak for Nick Kroll, because I really think that would satisfy a lot of people that are really frustrated with the Reds. I'm never going to be happy that the Reds did this thing where they just decided to punt on last year and just go, you know, tear it down again and trust the process. But if you just had someone that would come out and say what we've been saying, there is a path. Well, tell us that that's the path that you're choosing, that we have this great farm system. Now we've restocked it. We're going to let some of these guys develop in 2023, beginning in maybe in 2023, you can begin this, but even if you say beginning in 2024, we're going to start looking to the free agent market, the trade market. We're going to start filling these in. We're going to spend some money to fill in the holes, depending on who shows us that they're ready for the big leagues the following year. I think you get a lot of people invested a little bit more. Yeah. But instead, what we have is what you said, which is just, we have a lot of good prospects. Trust us. And no, that doesn't fly. So, and so much of this is just sort of PR in some ways. They could really change the narrative, even if they don't intend to do it that way.
Yeah, they could just lie.
They could lie to us, and we'd be like, okay, that sounds pretty good. But they won't. They can't even do that. They're so incompetent, they can't even do that. That's what's frustrating to me. So I'm with you. That's what I want from jolly old St. Bob, or whatever we call him. That's what I want for Christmas. I love it. That's what I want in jolly old Bob Sack. Sorry.
Moving on.
Moving on. Jordan Salisbury. Next question comes from our buddy Jordan Salisbury. Jordan's question is this. Gentlemen, I hope it's been a wonderful week. Thank you, Jordan.
It has been. Jordan.
Yeah, I appreciate that
for you
cares.
Too.
We do very hope nice that. And isn't it nice that someone cares whether we've had a wonderful week?
Not like that Joe Farsing guy.
Yeah, no, Joe actively hopes bad things for us. Jordan's question is this. Just checking back in, Chad, because I wanted to see if you were able to watch Redemption. And if so, what did you think?
This is the question that all of the Reds podcast universe has been wanting an answer to.
Right. If you listen a couple weeks ago, Jordan mentioned this this movie because I'm a longtime admirer of the world's greatest actor, Jason Statham. And so I mentioned him. And so Jordan asked the question, well, have you seen this particular Jason Statham movie? And I was embarrassed to say that I had not yet. And I'm sort of embarrassed with my answer here, but not really. And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is almost. We got this question and it had been on my list and I just hadn't had, it's been a busy time. So I hadn't had time to watch the movie. So I rushed home from work today and put the movie on. I told Nate I was going to try to do this and there's 20 minutes left. I've watched all but 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
So I know, right? So as soon as we finish here, I'm going to go finish it. So by the time you listen to this, Jordan Salisbury, I will have watched the movie. Here's my impressions from the first hour and 20 minutes of that movie. Number one, let me just say this. This movie, there's a reason it did not win an Academy Award. There is a reason that no one from the movie got nominated for an Academy Award. This movie has some flaws. And it's also the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. It is fantastic. It's kind of dumb in places. But oh my goodness, if you haven't seen Redemption, again, if you have HBO Max, go watch it, Redemption. I can't wait to see the ending because this is the exact perfect role for Jason Statham. He's a war hero. He comes back. He's living on the streets. And I won't talk about where it goes from there, but it's exactly what I want out of a movie. Nate, some people call me a movie snob, and I do like movies that are, quote unquote, important movies. My goodness, I'll watch a Jason Statham kick somebody's butt movie any day of the week. And I'll take that over any of these Marvel movies, and I watch all the Marvel movies, but I will take a Jason Statham movie like this anytime. So Redemption, Nate, you got to watch it next.
Done. Deal. And then we will do a future podcast on the 2023 Reds in Redemption quotes.
Oh, man, it's going to be amazing. Oh, goodness. I'm already excited. Oh, it's terribly exciting. All right. Next question comes from Seth Shaner. Seth asked this question. Well, with Nate being a newlywed, what advice does Chad have for him for holiday gifted ideas? Also, with reports of the Reds looking to swap minor league shortstops or minor league outfielders, what happens if the Reds trade the wrong prospects for the wrong prospects? Oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm not answering the second question. Oh, my goodness. Nick Carl's going to trade the correct prospects, Matt McClain's, who I'm encouraging him to trade, if there's a market for him, for the right prospects. I choose to be optimistic. The first question, though, with Nate being newlywed, what advice does Chad have for him for holiday gift ideas? All right, first of all, Nate's not a newlywed yet. It's coming.
Sometime.
It's coming.
Looking forward to the 2 days before the wedding podcast in Puerto Rico.
We're going to podcast from Puerto Rico.
Chad is invited.
Imagine that. should we tell people where it is so in case they want to show up, they can be on the podcast
too?
Incredible.
Katrina would murder me.
I'm surprised that she hasn't murdered you for inviting me, first of all. Here's my holiday gift idea for the lovely Katrina, who is clearly going to be one of my two favorite sisters-in-law. And I will tell her personally where she stands on that list when I talk to her. But I think she knows. Sheesh, I got to stop talking. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But here's what I say. You know what you need to get her? A Blu-ray 4K edition of a copy of Love Actually.
She would be thrilled to death. I don't know that we have the means to play it, but
you don't even have a Blu-ray player.
I'm going to get a poster board that says, "To me, you are perfect."
You are perfect. Ah, yes.
And then on the back, picture of Joey Votto.
No, don't. But don't. She may not look. Turn to look at the back. So, that's what I have. My only other ideas were like, you know, what I get for my wife, which is a bowling ball or a vacuum cleaner, or I'm going to get her a new oven. I think this year.
Well, I'm gonna, no. Let me throw this out there real quick. I do a thing. I have a little notes doc on my phone, and whenever I'm out and about or just with Katrina and she says, "Oh, look at that. You like that? I kind of like to have that." I just take a note. And then
oh, that's a good idea.
Come birthdays, come anniversary, come holidays. You've got a whole roster of things that she has said out loud that she wanted. And if she is unlike my future wife, that she hasn't gotten it yet.
Well, let me, I think that's a fantastic idea. I do want to clarify that what I just said were about an oven or a bowling ball. Those were all Simpsons things. My wife is amazing. And I would, I'm not insinuating anything. She's great. And what I got her this year, I'm not going to tell, I'm going to go and tell you because she doesn't listen. I got her a trip to New York. We're going to go and do some things she wanted to do in New York. So anyway, New York bowling. Is a city. We're going to go bowling. Going to go bowling. Yes. All right. One final question. This question comes from David Hurst. Hey, you remember David Hurst?
Big fan of David Hurst.
Yeah, I know you are. I don't much care for David Hurst. He's joined the club here. He's joined the family, and he just jumped into Slack and he's like talking like he's a full member of the family. What's he thinking?
He's thoughtful. He's insightful. He's
yeah, polite. What's he doing?
What a dirtbag.
No, he's great. He's been a great addition to our family, and I do appreciate David Hurst. And he has the question that we are debating and have been debating: how many shortstops are too many? I have an answer to that, Nate. I'll let you answer it in a moment. But my answer is, how many shortstops are too many? The answer is 10. Because you can only play 9 of them. So 10 are too many. I don't know if you have an answer to that, but...
That was going to be my answer, so thanks.
Oh, there we go. Oh, good.
The Grinch I'm glad I stole your Christmas. Answer. You stole my answer.
Hey, we did some Christmas quotes, and we didn't do any from The Grinch or from It's a Wonderful Life or Elf. What's the deal?
I looked into It's a Wonderful Life, and there's some potential there, but I felt like we can dive a little deeper into that at a later date. Elf, we did them all last year. The Grinch, Dr. Seuss doesn't make it easy. Then there's the Jim Carrey one, and it was a little too off the rails, so I couldn't be in the middle.
You know, we could do a full It's a Wonderful Life one because that's a movie about a guy that's really in despair. He's really, I mean, he's about to jump off a bridge, but somehow he finds a way back. Maybe we could relate that to the Reds.
It'll be the only podcast in history where, the only Reds podcast in history where it could be titled, It's a Wonderful Life.
Might be the only time we get to say that. Oh, it's a wonderful life. Well, guess what? This is has been a wonderful podcast to me anyway. I don't know if anyone else is enjoying it, but I enjoyed it. Thank you so much to everyone for listening and supporting the Riverfront. Please remember, subscribe to the show, either on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app. Also, if you're listening on one of those podcast apps, you know, Apple, Spotify, wherever, why don't you just go over to YouTube and subscribe and hit the like button. It does not hurt you at all. It costs nothing, and it helps other people find us. Also, if you like us, talk about us. That's the best way to grow a podcast. Is for people to talk about. So if you like us, talk about us on wherever, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're there at Riverfront Cincy on all those. But if you like us, talk about us. Now, again, if you don't like us, keep your electric sex mouth shut. Once again, listen, huge thank you to our supporters at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. This show would literally not be possible without the support of our Patreon family. We had a great sort of our private hangout on Zoom with our Patreon family this week. Had a lot of fun with that. And we'd love for all of you to join in our wacky hijinks. So patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. Click the link in the show notes, whatever. Get there. Nate, any final thoughts?
No, this is a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. And if people don't get a chance to listen to next week's, then let me say it now. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, we appreciate each and every one of you.
Absolutely, without question. Love all of you. For Nate Dotson and Logan Ondrusek, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.